Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 21-23 is our text, and our subject is building kingdom capacity. We have said, using the example of Israel who were in captivity in Egypt, that it is possible for you to be delivered out of captivity as Israel in Egypt was many years ago, but not be free from where you have been delivered from. In other words, Israel, although they were free, or rather I should say delivered from Egypt, they were not free from Egypt. We can see it in their disposition in the wilderness, that they longed even for the food that was in Egypt. So it means that they were not really free, although they were delivered. Okay, so we have established over and over again that there's a difference between being delivered and being free. Jesus has delivered us from the bondage of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You can be delivered as we are done, delivered when we are born again, and not be free. So God wants us to pass through now the process of being free from Egypt in the case of the people of Israel. Egypt is a type of the world. So he wants us to be free from the world system. Hallelujah. Because he can be born again but full of the world's religious system. The way that the world looks at church, the way that the world looks at the worship of God, the way that the world looks at the Bible, they look at Jesus, certain understandings about Jesus. You can be full of the religious world's understanding, where although you are born again and you are in the kingdom of Jesus, but we need to be free in order for us to assess the goodies, the bliss, the wonderful things of the kingdom of God. That is actually what God wants us to do. So we look at Israel. They were slaves in Egypt, right? Now God delivers them from the captivity in Egypt, and they have to build certain capacities to be able to enter the promised land. They couldn't enter the promised land, you know, for a long time because they lacked certain capacity. And when they entered the promised land, even they had problems. They had myriads of problems because they didn't have the capacity to handle the land of Canaan, or to handle, if you like, the world that God had freely, without their working for it, giving it unto them, without their toiling for it. So they had to build three types of capacity. Number one, they had to build a ruler's capacity. The reason is that they were slaves. So they had to build a ruler's capacity, a ruler's mindset. Shed of the slave mindset, build a ruler's mindset. The ruler's mindset is what I call the kingdom mindset. It's rulership thing when we talk about the kingdom. So Israel had to build kingdom capacity, and this is solved by the person of Jesus. He gives us his royalty, all right? Number two, they had to build management capacity, because when they were in Egypt and they were slaves, they were in the lowest class. They were living in the slum areas. They were not living in the top places, you know, of Egypt. Except Moses. He was the only person who was in the palace. All his brothers and sisters, they were in the slum areas. Ghana, we have got slum areas, right? If you know the slum area, that is the area that the slaves were. Wow. So they had to build management capacity. The reason is that being in the lowest class, they didn't have the opportunity to make decisions. Decisions were made for them, and they had to, there was nothing for them to manage. You are just instructed, make breaks. You are making this quantity. We will not give you straw. Go for straw and make the same quantity. Things like that. You know, they didn't have the privilege of being in the economically and socially high class. So they had to build a certain capacity so that they can be able to take over the promised land, which was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. What it meant was that land had things free. The Bible said that they were going to inherit cities that they had not built, beautiful cities they had not built, beautiful houses which were already finished that they did not build, they did not finish. They were going to inherit wells that they did not dig, but it has been dug, nicely painted, everything is nice, but they were going to inherit it. In order for you to inherit a beautiful city who has systems and all that, you have to have a certain capacity, you know, a certain capacity to be able to manage even the water system of the city, manage the electricity of the city, manage the wells, that is a water system, manage the city, you know. So that was something they had to develop in order to be able to function well in the place of rulership, which we call the promised land. Hallelujah. Now, they had to build a third capacity. That is the mental capacity. They had to. Now, the management capacity is solved by the principles of Jesus Christ. The mental capacity that they had to build was because what they were doing in Egypt was not mental work. It was physical work. It was like, park the brakes, and they are physically parking the brakes. Park 1,000 a day, and they are physically parking the thing. It wasn't a mental work. They were not doing analysis. They were not doing calculations. It was left for the Egyptians who had gone to school to do that thing. But as for these people, they were just supposed to do physical work. So for them to be able to go into the promised land and manage such a place, they had to build mental capacity. In other words, their mind that had been dormant for a long time, it needed to be oiled and working again, so that they don't do just physical work, but they also do mental work. If you're only confined to physical work, you'll always be poor and you'll be a slave. Those who do mental work, they have more rulership ability than those who do walati walasa. They are better paid than those who do the physical work, the mental work, the research. They are writing programs. They are writing softwares, decoding issues and all those things. It's not a physical thing. They are just behind the computer and they are working things out. And at the end of the day, they sell. If you know how much one little program sells, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Hallelujah. So they had to build mental capacity. That is solved by a knowledge of the performance of Jesus Christ. So three things of Jesus solves these things: the person of Jesus, the principles of Jesus, and the performance of Jesus solves the capacity building that we have to do. Because just like Israel, we also have to build the same capacity as believers who have been delivered but are not free. Hallelujah. The fact that you are free from Egypt, or you have been moved out of Egypt, does not mean that Egypt has moved out of you. You can move out of Egypt and still carry Egypt with you. That is where you are not free from Egypt, but you need to be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, we are going to look at the first type. In fact, I want to end it today. The kingdom capacity, I want to end it today, and then we'll move into management capacity, and then we'll move into mental capacity if God gives us a privilege. So we are talking about building ruler's capacity, because when we were unbelievers, we were slaves. We were slaves to what? Slave to self, our own selves. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to sickness. We were slaves to society, and we were slaves to Satan. Five things: slave to self, slave to sin, slave to sickness, slave to situation that includes poverty, and slaves to Satan. But he has delivered us, and we have to be free so that we will rule. Rule over what? Rule over self. By self, I'm talking about your own self, your own body. Rule over yourself. Your spirit must bear rule over yourself. So we are made kings to rule over ourselves, to rule over sin, so that sin does not lord it over you. Hallelujah. And we must rule over sickness. And then we must rule over what? Situations like all the lack and scarcity around. Rule over it by having plenty. And then we must rule over what? Satan. Hallelujah. Wow. So that is it. We need to build kingdom capacity to be able to do all these things. And what we are going to do now is to look at a disposition that a believer can have. Although he's born again, he can have that disposition. And when he has that disposition or that condition, although he's delivered, he is not free. And what I'll do is to give you the counterpart. What freedom will mean in the context of that slavish understanding or mentality or disposition or attitude that a believer can have, so that we move out, we transition from a slave's attitude. Although we are not slaves, we are born again, we are kings, right? But we can transition from practically being slaves to the five elements, five S's that I talked about, to being kings and rulers over these situations. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 21. For three things the earth is perturbed. Perturbed means disquieted or troubled. Yes, for four it cannot bear. So the Bible says that there are some three things. It brings trouble on the earth. And four of them, the earth cannot bear. In other words, life becomes like hell has broken loose. Life becomes like the devil is reigning. For three things or for four. Alright, verse 22 now. It's listing those things. Number one, he says that for a servant when he reigns. That's number one. Number two, a fool when he is filled with food. Food, he eats. And then number three, a hated woman when she is married, or a hateful woman when she is married. And then number four, a maid servant or a slavish girl. A maid servant is a girl slave. So, a maid servant who succeeds her mistress. These are the four things the Bible says the earth cannot. It makes hell break loose. It doesn't make God's rule come on this earth. Come in your life. Come in our churches. Hallelujah. What are those things? Number one, he says what? For a servant when he reigns. So the Bible is telling us that there is a condition where you can have a servant ruling. A servant too, and he is ruling. How is it possible? It is possible because believers are delivered. Is that right? We are kings and priests. We have been made. Past tense, Revelations 1:5. Made, M-A-D-E. Past tense, kings and priests. So we are like people who are ruling. But it is possible that this king or a believer can be ruling with a servant's attitude, can be ruling with a servant's condition. That is why he says that a servant who is ruling. It looks like ironical that a servant cannot rule. But we know that Jesus has delivered us from being servants, is that right? And has made us kings already by his blood, Revelations 1:5. But we can still have the servant attitude even in rulership. Have a servant disposition even in rulership. That is why we need to build capacity. So he says that the first thing that brings trouble on earth, trouble everywhere that we are, is when a ruler is actually having a slavish mindset, a slavish attitude, a slavish disposition or condition. There is no peace anywhere. Number two is what? Number two is when a fool is filled with food. The Hebrew word for fool is nabal. When a nabal is filled with food. Because food has a way of waking up foolishness. Please note it. If if you don't get anything, get this one. At least in the beginning. Food has the capacity of waking up folly. Awaken foolishness in anybody. That is why, you know about the proverbial ifiponko. That is why you must be careful about eating too much. Because you can eat and your stomach is full and you feel like throwing up. And you see that all the foolish tendencies in you will be waking up. That is why God cautioned us that he's taking us to the promised land. But we should be careful when we are full. Because when you are eating and you are full, you can easily deny God. That, oh, my power has gotten me this. I'm very smart. I'm very good. It's my job. It's my this. It's my that. It's because your problems are solved. is because you have got food. You have eaten, your family have eaten. So now foolishness is entering your head. So now you want to misbehave towards the church. Want to misbehave towards people who have brought you up because you feel, oh, but I'm just like them and all that. Foolishness begins to wake up. Hallelujah. It says that these things, they trouble the earth. That is why all the confusion is around. It's some foul people. People who have eaten foul food, who are misbehaving around. Because some time ago, they were empty. Some time ago, they were nothing. They were just small, small girls, small, small boys. And somebody helped them. Now they feel that they have arrived. So they don't need people. They feel that they have to just throw their weight around. Please be careful. When you are full, when you are not empty, when you have reached a certain point, foolishness will start. And there will be no peace around in the society. When your ruler, your king, whoever is over you, in the corporate world, in the national world, I mean, they are eaten, they are full. Be careful. Especially if they are not wise people. Alright?
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Now, number three is what? A hated woman when she is married. A hated woman when she is married. Hey, hatred is not good, oh. That is why God wants us to go around telling people He loves them. Because when a hated person gets married, married means that it's accepted by somebody. The person becomes, causes trouble everywhere. One of the first trouble is that when they meet their friends, they are going to look down at them like that. So you thought you were the only people. Me too. Somebody has married me. You thought my condition would be like that. I'm telling you, a hated woman, an insecure woman, an inferior woman who gets married, run away. Because when you meet the person will propose herself. And then you are going to see really where power lies. Hey, hatred damages the soul. Hatred damages the will, the mind, the emotions in such a way that the person has a very strong potential and tendency to misbehave. That is why God says that we should go around telling people, I love you. I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That mountains can be moved. The hills can depart. But my loving kindness will I not take from you. That is why Jesus Christ came loving us, not hating us, but loving everybody. Loving everybody. The woman caught in adultery, loving her. Because if Jesus hated the woman, it was going to be a different case. Something is going to spoil more in the woman. Hallelujah. So it wasn't just food you must be careful of. But when you have a condition where a person is hated, please don't ever give impression to other people that somebody doesn't love them. Listen very carefully to me. Don't ever give any clue to anybody that another person doesn't love them. It's a very dangerous thing. Hallelujah. You see, you can go beyond that thing and let the person see that there is a devil behind that person. Otherwise, the other person will hate that person and you become somebody who is sowing discord instead of bringing peace between somebody who hates another person and the other party, you are rather compounding and widening the gap. If, for example, you tell that this person doesn't like you, be careful. You have to go beyond that. Do you understand that? You have to go beyond and let the person see that there is somebody who is your real enemy. And your fight is not against flesh and blood. Your fight is against some spirits. Hallelujah. So that when he sees the person, he doesn't feel like sucking the tongue against the person. He doesn't check anything. He said, when he sees the person, he just sucks the tongue. He said, who do you think you are in the mind? And who do you think you are? You haven't even checked. You have not even checked. And people who tell you things like that, they will tell you, don't go and tell him that I told you. What is this? Don't go and tell him because I love you, I'm telling you so that you beware. Because this world is, they are sheep in wolf's clothing and things like that. Please, if you paint that picture, let them see that it's not a human being the person is fighting against. He's fighting, the Bible said clearly, you are not fighting against human beings. Your enemy is not a human being. If you think your enemy is a human being, then you've lost the battle. Because you'll be fighting friends, potential friends who should help you, whom the devil has gone behind to kind of hate you. Now those people, if you are able to use love to conquer them, what is going to happen is that they are going to bring you breakthroughs in your life which you have never seen before. They are going to love you in very terrible ways and die for you, which you have never experienced before. The devil knew that this person is going to bless you. That is why he wants to sow that discord and let the person hate you, so that there will be the gap and your breakthrough will never come. Hallelujah. So never give any impression to anybody that somebody doesn't love him or her. That it's only me who loves you. And be careful about this, be careful about that, be careful about this person, be careful about that person. It's wrong. Hallelujah. Let the person know above all that, look, maybe somebody may say he doesn't like you, but I want you to know that God loves you and God wants to love you even through that person. And get rid of the devil who has sown that seed of gossip and discord between the two of you. You are bringing discord. Are you not seeing you are destroying and causing trouble? Trouble. Hallelujah. So he says that a hated woman, when she is married or accepted by one person, there is trouble around. Because the hatred destroys things, and then it will begin to spew out like the Hawaii volcano that is spewing molten magma onto the face of the earth, destroying homes. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But the third thing that the Bible talks about, is it the third thing? Yes. A maidservant who succeeds her mistress is still the picture of a servant ruling. A maidservant who is an heir to the mistress, who succeeds or will succeed the mistress, such a person is very dangerous. He can cause trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, I've gone through all this to make you to understand that if we don't solve this slavish servant attitude and mindset and understanding, and we bring it into succeeding Jesus, heirs of Jesus, succeeding or ruling in this world, if we bring it in, there will rather be trouble everywhere. You understand that? Because you are bringing a certain background of a slave into a new condition of a servant, and those two things is like oil and water. They can mix. And so you bring fire. You bring trouble. Hallelujah. So we need to build, shed off all the slave things. One of it is that a slave's key principle is survival due to scarcity. Survival due to scarcity. The main thing about a slave is survival. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 8 or so, that a servant or a slave does not abide in the house forever. It's not like the slave will be converted to be a son or no. But the slave is insecure. The slave does not have a future. A slavish attitude has no future as far as ruling in this life is concerned. Right? So a slave has a problem. The problem of the slave is that he feels that, look, as a slave, I can be put out of the house anytime. A son, Jesus said in the same John 8, abides forever. That is where he said, so if the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So Jesus is telling us that the problem of a servant or a slave is that he is not sure about a survivor in the house. He's not sure. He can move out at any time. So the slave is full of surviving. Let me survive. Let me do things that will make me stay around for long. You understand that? Wow. So that is the main thing about a slave. The main thing is that the slave wants to survive. Now, survivor is a nice social term for living in the short term. A slave lives in the short term. A son lives forever. It's a son forever. But a slave, there is a time limit. So the slave's main thing is that I want to survive because I cannot guarantee tomorrow. Survival is short-term mindedness. So if you are listening to me and you are short-term minded, you know, in life you can be short-term minded, medium-term minded, generally speaking, and then long-term minded. If you are short-term minded, that is where you are thinking about what you eat today. That is why you are thinking about what you will drink today. That is why you are thinking about, you are consumed with what you will wear. But do you remember what Jesus said? What he said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 is that, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. What was he talking about? He was talking about things that perish with the use. You just chop after chopping, just wait for some 2 hours or so, depending on the food that you ate. You'll be hungry again. It's very short term. Eh? Drinking. Just drink. Give yourself 30 minutes if you're very healthy. Eh? You'll be passing water right now. Wonderful. If everything is working inside you well. Eh? You should be passing water. It's very short term. What Jesus was saying, that don't be survival minded. When he said in the book of Matthew, the Gentiles think about these things, but you, think first about my kingdom. The kingdom of God is talking about long-term minded. It is talking about not worrying about tomorrow. Hallelujah. So it's wonderful how the devil can take a teaching of Jesus Christ where he said that, my children, don't be survival minded, be long-term minded, be futuristic minded, and don't worry about tomorrow, about the future. I've taken care of all those things. And the devil makes it seem like Jesus was saying that we shouldn't plan. All that he was saying was that, rather, don't be stomach direction. Don't be survival minded. Because survival mindedness, if you are a believer and you have that survival mind, you cannot rule in this life. It's true. You cannot rule in this life. Because what is going to happen is that you are not going to think about the repercussions of your actions now in the kingdom future. Yeah. Survival mindedness means that you don't care about tomorrow. You don't care about tomorrow. What is needed is for you to eat now, to have something now. So slaves have a survival of the fittest mind. If you are listening to me and you have a survival of the fittest mind, that attitude, you can't reign with it because it's going to bring trouble on this earth, according to Proverbs 30, 21 downwards. People who are surviving due to scarcity, of course, they can develop a whole lot of things. One of the things is that survival mindedness makes you suspicious of everybody. It makes you feel insecure. You become somebody who develops distrust or suspicion. Anybody comes into the house, you want to eavesdrop and find out, hey, is a person coming to replace me? Because you know the servant does not abide in the house forever. So you become suspicious of everybody. And the people come into the house and you don't want to be free with them. You don't want to even teach them the things. You don't want to be nice with them. The reason is that you are thinking about how I will survive in this house. And if you are a believer listening to me, you can have that kind of suspicious disposition where you suspect everybody. Somebody comes around and then maybe he is doing a good job in your workplace. You become suspicious. A person is trying to take my job. A person wants to take my job. Somebody, God anoints the person small. You become suspicious and you become very antagonistic towards the person. Because the person is trying to take my place. He's trying to take my job. The issue is that you have a slave's mind. Because a slave knows that I have to survive. Hallelujah. So, survivor-mindedness makes us to develop suspicion of people. They tell you something, you are always full of negative thinking about people. They say something, and instead of thinking about it in a positive way, you think about it in the negative way. Or I should say, more in the negative way. He said this because of that, and because of that, and because of that, and because of that. Wow! A person like that, if he is ruling over you, there is trouble. As a person, that survivor mind, it doesn't go with rulership and leadership. Hallelujah. That is why you scatter all the good people around and retain people who cannot do anything to him. We see it in our workplaces, don't you see that? Hey, I was in Accra, somebody was talking to me about the problem. Said, oh, my fiancé something has been transferred. He mentioned a place in the upper part of Western region. He said, what can I do for that person? What happened? He mentioned some things. Hey! When I heard that, I said, the person didn't tread wisely. Because if you have somebody who has a slave's mind and he is a CEO and he's ruling, you have trouble all your life. They will put you far away. Everything you do, you write a nice report, suspicious, that he wants to topple me, he wants to do. So we should all curtail our potential and behave as if we cannot do the things well because of your comfort. Grow up. Yes, grow up. Because that's not how we are going to rule in this life, ladies and gentlemen. From the church to our workplaces to our national life, that's not how we are going to rule in life. That is where people develop suspicions. The worst part is where people develop crabology. You know crabology? Where they behave like crabs. Because anybody who wants to go up, hey, we will pull him down. Put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, you know, open the lid. Nobody will get out. Nobody will get out. You can go to Siberia and come back. They will all be there. 7 of them. Anytime one wants to go, hey, the other one will pull the other person down. That's the height of suspicion. You are going out for what? Let's all stay here. Let's all be like that. Let's all be kapwepwe. Nobody should develop well. Nobody should show great potential. All of us, let's all be here. Be kapwepwe. If anybody is going, bring him down. Let him measure. This is the level where we should be.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.